We're going back into Ephesians tonight, brothers and sisters, and we're in the fourth chapter. And we'll just begin reading in the 12th verse. And we'll just read for four verses. And I think we're going to kind of meditate here, if the Lord tarry, for quite some time. This is one of the high water of the high water marks of Ephesians. I'm going to back up just a little bit, I think. The Lord encouraged my heart just now. Let's go to verse 7. If I keep backing up, we might even be back into Genesis here shortly. I'm just fond of the Word of God. I don't know. And it's grace. All right. But we're going to go from verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace. See, we had to get back to verse 7, didn't we? We're all good now. Praise God. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith when he ascended up on high, praise God, he led captivity captive. And gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same that also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles. These were the five gifts to the church that we rejoiced in last week. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And here we go. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now this is some exciting stuff, brothers and sisters, because in coming to this 12th verse, in the 12th through the 16th, we begin tonight the practice truly of the most holy faith, as the Word of God tells us. The high water mark, as we know, it has been called the book of Ephesians. I really mean this. This could be the high water of the high water mark of the book of Ephesians here. And where we're beginning in is the 10 steps in these verses. There are 10 steps. Brother Hill used to call them the aims, the mark, the goal to win Christ. And tonight, God willing, we're going to address the first five. And that so amazingly will take us through 1.5 verses. Can you imagine? And I'm telling you, just to get through 1.5 verses, if the Lord allow that, we went at light speed. I'm telling you, it is the truth. We're just blowing too fast through it, but I think the Holy Spirit's put that on my heart this evening. But before we begin, I want us to really realize this, that one can never really begin to comprehend the wealth in these 10 steps. They can never really drink of these truths or even have them evidenced in their life until we truly first know the plan and the purpose and the provision and the power. And then where we started from, apprehend the grace in verse 7, and then in verse 11, submit to the five gifts of the church. If those things aren't taken into your life, if that knowledge isn't there, you'll come to this portion of Scripture, and I'll assure you, you'll just read through it. You'll never really be touched by it. You'll never really be moved by it. There truly will be no feeding. We need to know these things, brothers and sisters. And it does, as the Word of God tells us, it's line upon line, upon line upon line. And precept upon precept, and precept upon precept. And it's here a little, and it's there a little. And brothers and sisters, these things must be put in remembrance always. And then by the grace of God, once you know them, grow in them. Grow in them. Let the love of God take you to the new heights in this. But then, brothers and sisters, God help us that we're not saints that would know this bridal message. And I'm talking really about these five gifts that we ended in last week. But saints that would know the message. But instead, they would go ahead and attend meetings where the preaching and the teaching did not want to have anything to do with these wonderful truths. Do you understand what I'm saying? Brothers and sisters, we have been called to gather in a place where we have these wonderful gifts of this teaching and preaching and the prophecy coming forth of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We should covet to be with saints of that like most precious faith and want to gather together. There should be a cherishing here. And God will, I believe, reveal to us that it's going to be clear that if we truly have entered in, really entered into the bridal calling, not just read about it, not just get excited about it for me, but I get excited about it for you. That's the evidence of the love of God that truly brings us into this oneness that the unity of the Spirit is all about. I do want to be clear. The Word of God tells us we can know all the mysteries, but without the love of God, it profits you nothing. Do you understand that? This is about love. Praise God. There is a knowledge, and knowledge is wonderful, and without that knowledge, you'll never know. But without the love, you'll never embrace the knowledge. The knowledge will never grow in you. It will never be evident, brothers and sisters. And this is what God is bringing to us. That unless we heed to the instruction of the Word, and especially these five gifts to the church, how vital it is, we will let the thing slip. I know many a saints, brothers and sisters, that truly what they think is, well, I can know these things, but I don't necessarily have to fellowship. I don't need to come together. The Word of God tells us the much, the more as we see that day approaching. And the Lord has impressed upon my heart, brothers and sisters, I'm in the midst of saints. That day to them is the very beginning of the Lord's day, when that trump shall sound, and praise God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain, praise the Lord, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and forever to be with the Lord. And I'm telling you, we're comforting one another with those words, aren't we? Praise God. That's my comfort tonight. I'm telling you. There is a raging fire. I really do believe that the furnace, brothers and sisters, these last few days has been turned up like I've never seen it before. And I'm talking about on the body. Now, if this be it and this is the last firing, praise God. But I assure you, I saw the guards faint and die opening that furnace. It's hot, but we know who protects us. But brothers and sisters, we're here tonight to rejoice in the gifts that God has given us to this church and how we should love and so cherish this precious meeting that God has given us. And going forth into the 12th verse, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Isn't that wonderful? Praise be to God for the perfecting of the saints. Now, I believe I am speaking to a group of people that we know the Word of God and we understand this is not referring to holiness or righteousness, brothers and sisters. The moment that we accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, He gave us His life. And I'm going to ask you the question. What about Christ Jesus is not fully holy or fully righteous? There isn't any part of it, is there? It's all holy and it's all righteous. And praise be to God, that's the life that He gave us. And it wasn't a conditional life. It's forever. Never to be separated from the love of God. Praise God, He put me in His hand, and His hand is in the Father's hand. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man. And I'm just so thankful for that wonderful assurance that I am His and He is mine. And this is who we are, brothers and sisters, and forever will be. And in the natural, we've talked about this many times, once a baby is born, he's never going to be any more human than he is the moment that he's born. Well, again, it's the same thing as a child of God. Once you are born again, you are never going to be any more Christ-like than you are the moment you were born of God. You were given His life. And it's the same for both. The only thing you can do now is to grow up in it. You grow up in this natural life, and you grow up into this spiritual life that He has given us. So, evident is this perfection that we're talking about here. And the word perfection in the Greek means to mature, to grow up, or to be fully furnished. As we just mentioned, a baby in the natural, brothers and sisters, that's just the beginning. And what a long way to go. Looking at my own life, I understand I got a long way to go, if the Lord so choose. But see, and as they grow up, I'm not just talking about a child growing physically, but emotionally. Right? Praise God. And mentally and all those things. But you know what? Even people that grow to a ripe old age, they never grow up, even naturally speaking, emotionally or mentally, do they? They don't. They remain childish, immature, never took that instruction. How much more, brothers and sisters, God is talking about the spiritual here. He wants His people to grow up. We all are born in royalty. We are all born children of the King the moment that we accept Christ Jesus as our Savior. Royalty. But God did not stop there. He wants you to grow up to share in the throne. Period. That's His goal, and that's His goal for everyone. This perfecting truly means to be fit thoroughly. To be fit thoroughly. You talk about a vision in a wedding dress, brothers and sisters. It just made me smile. I get to understanding more and more what a beautiful, stunning scene that Shulamite woman is to him. No wonder in the Song of Solomon, he goes on and on and on about how she looks. And I'm not trying to embarrass you, but in the natural, I can't help but think he is so anticipating his honeymoon. And he is. He wants to be with her in the most intimate of ways. And you just think about that. That is just a type of the ecstasy that we know. It's a type of the ecstasy of the exceeding riches of His grace to come. And all I can tell you is, my, oh my, I'm going to put on a glorified body someday. And I lost my mind. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine? So far beyond any ecstasy that you could ever imagine. And I'm talking about in its pureness here. I'm not just talking about feeling good. I'm talking about when it's mind, body, and soul. When it's right, right. But I still can't even imagine that. I'm going to have a body like unto His own glorious body. And I'm just saying, thank you, Jesus. Not that I deserved a thing. But I want to see you. And I'm sure looking forward to it. And there's been some pressing things this week. I don't think I've ever been looking as forward to it as I have this week. But He knows what we need. But brothers and sisters, perfection. The perfecting of the saints. See, this is the true worshiper, the Word of God tells us there in John. See, the thought there of the true worshiper, it means perfect. It really does. It's another translation of it. The perfect worshiper, meaning complete in spirit and truth. There's no impurities there in her heart. She loves Him with the love of God. 1 Corinthians 1:10 tells us perfect fellowship even. And then in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, perfect faith. And all of those words, perfect and perfect and perfect, all it is speaking thereof is growing up, maturing in it. The faith that He gives is always perfect in its perfection. But we're talking the difference here of, are you going to feast upon milk or are you going to feast upon meat? What do you choose, brothers and sisters? God wants you to be feasting upon the meat of the Word. as he got after those Christians over and over throughout the Word of God. And in one place he says, you know, here you all should be feasting on the meat, and I got to get you back on milk. Shame on you. You should even be teaching these things, but we're going to have to go back to the beginning, aren't we now? And just wean you back up. I don't want to be like that, brothers and sisters. I want to go on and by the grace of God, eat that meat with a full set of teeth. But brothers and sisters, it is a choice. And by the grace of God, if we would just enter into that fellowship with Him, it is so wonderful to have this perfection being worked in our lives, this worship and fellowship and faith to be fully furnished. And I'm talking about sun worship. S-U-N. Sun glory worship. Praise God. And then, when that happens in our life, by His grace, we move to the second one, which is the work of the ministry. Now, brothers and sisters, we enjoy this in our lives when we truly let go and let God take over. You know that? When we get into a meeting and just let Him take over. And when we enter in to what God has for us. And I'm talking about, if you can envision this, just even our little meeting here. I'm talking about letting go of all my indifferences, letting go of all my preconceptions, all of these different things, and entering into the oneness that we have in Christ. See, brothers and sisters, this isn't talking about the gifts to the church. See, we already have that. God showed us that in verse 11. Those were the gifts of position to the church. So this ministry that He's visiting here with us is something different than that. And we're going to get an idea of it here in verse 16 when we get there, Lord willing, of the supplying of the joints. This ministry is not speaking of a specific position in the church that you might think or covet or want, but about who we are in Christ and that we all are ministers to the members of this body. Do you know that? We are all members of this ministry, brothers and sisters. We are. We need to be. Whether or not we're going to take that, God help us. But we're talking about growing up into Him in all things. That's where this is going to result in, brothers and sisters. And we need to take the place in the body. And every place in that body is a ministering place. It's a supplying place, is it not? It's a place of prayer. It's a place of worship. It's a place of being instant in season. It's a place of being ready to give every man an answer, brothers and sisters. It's called a cold cup of water. And it's the greatest gift that we could give to one another to bring the Word of God in love. Amen. How important, how vital. This is what it is. The nurturing of the body, the care and the love of the body. You know, we mentioned it so many years back. I remember the Lord gave me such a vivid image of what He was talking about. Of the love of the saints. Jesus Christ, we know, is the head. And we know that He has called us the body of Christ. Well, that body within the body that's going to marry Him, that rib portion, He's the head. And let me tell you something, He's really the head of her, isn't He? And there's that precious body of saints that are loving His appearing. Well, let me tell you something, I'm not just marrying the head, I'm marrying the whole enchilada. I am, by the grace of God. In the natural, you don't just marry a head, you marry the whole thing. Huh? Amen. Well, praise be to God, I better have that same love for you. I better have that same love for you. And do you understand that that's not in me? And do you understand that's not in you? That is something only the grace of God could give you? But do you know that you already have that? See, that's the thing, that you have been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. You already have that. You just have to allow, by faith, the Holy Spirit to show you what you already got in Christ. I was visiting with a sister today, and she says, oh, I can't go there, brother. I can't forgive that. And I said, oh, you're so right, you can't. But Christ Jesus already did in you, if you'll just allow the Holy Spirit to see it. Yes, you can. Because He did. And it is finished. And us in Christ is just what it is. We are in Him. We are in Him, brothers and sisters. And how amazing that place is that God has called us to. And this is the edification to the body of Christ, brothers and sisters. This is exactly what it's talking about there, where it says in that verse 12, number 3, the edifying of the body of Christ. And that literally means to build one another up, to lift each other up, to establish, to help complete and grow. Spiritual ones build one another up in love. Period. And that's it. Now that doesn't mean we're going to be patting each other on the head when we know better, but it always means to love. And if God uses you for something, remember, God gives the correction, but sometimes He'll use you for certain things. But always remember, be motivated in love. When you start to judge or condemn, stop. Get on your knees and shut up. And I'm telling you, do it. You're going to hurt yourself and you're going to hurt a brother or sister in Christ. It's love. It's love. You are vessels to be used in love. And edifying of the body means to build one another in love. See, children, brothers and sisters, which we're going to hit upon here. Once we are born of God, He calls us children. That's what this children is referring to. The children of the King. But He doesn't want us to remain as children. He wants us to become the mature sons. I held my baby sons in my arms the moment they were born. But the desire by the grace of God was them to grow up. And truly by the grace of God, to grow up to be mighty men of God. Let them grow up to love You, Lord Jesus, and to serve You and to worship You. But see, children, even in the natural, but I'm talking about in the spiritual as well too, what do they want to do? They want to tattle. They want to expose things. And a lot of times it's just in their nature. You know what? They want to tear down. I've never seen such vicious things sometimes. I love little guys. Don't get me wrong. I've, by the grace of God, I've always kind of preferred to be around them. I love teaching the kids and things of that nature. But I'll tell you what, those little fellas, you don't have to tell them and teach them how to tear each other down. They'll just go right at it. You look a little different. Whoo, you got marked, man. Oh, look at how tall she is. We're going to have to get on her. Huh? Poor little thing. Or that little fella that just had the genes that, you know what, he was just round. That was me. Yeah, kind of starting to come back again. So you start and you finish the same way, huh? But the kids can be awful mean that way. But see, we're spiritual ones where the children will tattle and expose and tear down. Spiritual ones, as the Word of God says, come into cover. Yes. And what? To bring ointment. Not hurt, but ointment. And to build up. And brothers and sisters, we must enter into this willingly and joyfully. Willingly and joyfully. We don't do this as duty. If you're strapping on your duty hat, you've missed it. Oh, it's my job. I got to go out there and I've got to, you know, brothers and sisters, it's love. It's love. And that's the grace of God. Know it. Know it. It's cheerful. It's just like by the grace of God with tithing, it's the cheerful giver. We don't, you know, it's not a checklist. Uh-uh. That was all nailed to the cross. We live by faith. And faith is just loving Jesus. That's how faith happens. Did you know that? Faith which worketh by love. That's how faith works. Or it's duty. Or it's law. And you know, there's no profit in that. There isn't. That's worthless. That's filthy rags to God. Because you're not looking to His Son. And I'm so grateful to God. And it is against our nature, isn't it? How many times you say, well, I want the checklist. Come on, God, give me the checklist. There isn't one, son. What don't you get about it? My son. My only begotten nailed it to the cross. Sometimes it's really hard to live free, isn't it? If you really think about it. Look at them children of Israel. But we need a law. We need a king. We need somebody to rule over us. Because it's not in our nature to submit to God. Huh? And I love it. Well, let's get that tall guy over there. He sure looks smart. And we've never stopped picking them that way, did we? Okay, I'll be quiet. I'm going to get myself in trouble. You know, our presidents have always been taller people, don't you? So, I'm not on you, Ty. I'm not trying to cover because I'm short. All right, I don't want to hear it. We'll go out to breakfast and he'll give me one. Or two. All right. But brothers and sisters, we do this edifying joyfully. And it is an evidence of her. It is. There was, and I love to go back to the book of Esther. I think so many things are so evident there about the bride. And Vashti, she refused to come out. And do you know what that did for the people when the queen would come out? It would thrill everyone. There she was with the king, and there was excitement, and it brought a calm to the people. Vashti didn't want to do that. She didn't want to supply. There was many things in that, but I can see very clearly she did not care, first of all, for her head. But in that headship, she was also not caring for the body. She was dismissing them. Well, it's not important. I'm more concerned with how I feel than for the people. Well, brothers and sisters, love, the love of God, prefers the other before self. It thinks of the other before self. It's just the way it is. It doesn't have to try. It just naturally does that, brothers and sisters, because that is the love of God. And that's why the throne was taken from her, because the Word of God is telling us that we must enter in. We must enter in. The Word of God tells us to dwell together. And as you look up that word dwell, it means to settle down in marriage. To settle down. To not be anxious for things, but to settle down with one another in that love. See, we'll never enter into marriage at arm's length with one another. I'm not going to let you get close to me. You could hurt me. What kind of marriage is that? I ask you. It's with open arms, dear ones. It's with open arms. And we need to understand this, that dwelling together is settling down as in marriage with one another. And to quit making excuses why we're not doing it. Amen? Amen. Know it. Know that for our lives. Israel, throughout the Word of God, and I've been drawn by a sister into the book of Hosea, and there's so many wonderful things there, but Israel is always referred to the adulterous wife. God's wife. Isn't that something how that is? Unfaithful. But Christ's bride is referred to as one way, a chaste virgin to Him. Christ's bride brings rest to His, to Him, to His heart. He rests in that wondrous bride. And I'm going to tell you something, that includes the body. And when we edify one another's brothers and sisters, the way we edify is we are vessels filled with the Word of His grace. And that's really what it is. That's all it is. I'm not just going to tell you frilly words. I'm not just going to tell you all of these cotton candy nothings. By the grace of God, I'm going to preach the Word. And I'm going to preach it by His grace in truth and love. And it's going to be the Word of His grace. And that is, brothers and sisters, as it tells us in Acts 20, verse 32, the Word of His grace that is able to build us up. It's able to build you up. But are you going to let it work effectually in you? It'll work effectually if you believe it. And that's what the Word of God is. But the Word of His grace, which is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I was thinking as the Word was coming to me in this, I remember dear brother Austin. He was my Sunday school teacher for years. I forget what age group it was. But there wasn't a Sunday that would ever go by that he wouldn't greet me. And the first thing he said, "Oh, there's another jewel in my crown." And I took that as such an honor. And praise be to God, the reality of it. That you know what? The Lord fed the Word of God through you to me. And He edified this vessel. He helped build this vessel up. And it was the same way we ever build any of us up or used to. It's through the Word of His grace. It's through truth and love, isn't it? By the grace of God, that's exactly what it is. And praise God, brother Paul, he desired that rich grace to be poured upon him from the brethren. That's what I love about brother Paul. He was such an anointed vessel, the apostle to the Gentiles. So wonderful what God had given him. But the beautiful thing was, he was so immersed in it, he loved to be washed in the Word of God and encouraged by the saints and to have them bring him the Word of God and feed him the Word of God. And that wasn't necessarily a sermon, brothers and sisters. A lot of times we have to say, well, I need your undivided attention, brother, for about 45 minutes because I've got so much to tell you. I'm telling you, it could be just one word. And as I said, one of the greatest moments of my life, in a time when I was so defeated, was on those back steps. And a brother just passed by me. He knew something was going on. I didn't even know who it was or what passed by me. I was consumed in despair. And all he said was, "Brother, as far as I know, God's still on the throne." And bam. Reality. In the name of Jesus, I saw it. And you know what? It was well. It's all right. Praise God. Amen. So you see, it's here a little and there a little, and the bounty that edification brings. And just as it says on the steps out there, and I'm so thankful it does, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no other way to grow. There's no other way, and that growing is building up. That's the growth. You can try to bring it on any other way you want. We can get excited about things. We can go ahead and say, you know what, brother, we just got to do project after project. And we got to get a group together, go build homes over here and do this over there. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to judge that. The only thing I am, though, is I'm going to look to the Word. And He tells me how I am going to grow. And it's not going to be in good deeds and these thoughts and building projects and getting on political bandwagons and trying to do this and that and trying to build a big mass of people that come in here. We're going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the day and the age that He is seeking the goodly pearl. All right? And she's one in Him. And she's rare. And He sold all that He had to find her. Okay? And let me tell you something. She's rare. All right? And praise be to God if by grace some of that pearl comes right out of here. Isn't that something? What a thought, Jesus, if You would use us for something like that. Now, do you see to be a minister to that? To be an edifying vessel to that? What greater cause could there be? Now you understand why Paul said, sat there and he looked out and he said, "The crown of my rejoicing." Wow. Amazing how excited he was. Got a vision of what God was doing in their lives. And here it is. To be like Paul, it's the whole counsel of God, isn't it? I want to be like that. I don't want to be guilty of withholding anything from you. I want to declare to you all the counsel of God. All of it. Amen. I don't care if it's popular or not. It doesn't matter what people think. You mean you really go to a Bible study? I mean, we get together on Wednesday nights and I tell you, it's fun. There's lots of stories that go on. We talk about all the happenings in the neighborhood and, you know, we might even mention the Broncos a little bit and their record and we're all kind of happy today and we hope they keep it going and that's all fine. But not here at Bible study. It's time to feed and yea, the deep things. And I get excited that we can come together and this is what God intended. And it's not, again, it's not exclusive to here. Please don't go there with that. He wants it to be everywhere. I'm just so grateful to God. You know what? I see it. I do. And that's grace, but He's given me a vision for it. And I can't help see that message no matter where I look in this wonderful Word. It says, in Christ, He loves me. He loves me. He'll always love me. Praise God. Huh? Isn't that wonderful? That's your word. All right. And then it's always, brothers and sisters, and that's really what verse 13 is getting at. Till we all come. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So wonderful. See, this is putting these things always in remembrance, isn't it? This is why we come together and we get excited. I've said it many times. When you really love somebody, I mean really, really love somebody, do you ever get tired of them telling you that they love you? Huh? Most of the time when people really love somebody, the thing that they wish they did tell them, could you tell me you love me just a little bit more? Come on now. Come on. I understand that. Let me tell you something. This is a lover that tells you he loves you in every word. And a love beyond any love that in a way we could ever comprehend. But by my Spirit, we can comprehend it. That's what's so amazing. And he wants us to know it. In every dimension, this is the lover of our soul. So we need to give heed to the gospel of Christ. And how do we give heed through the gospel of Christ? We started there in verse 11. Those five wondrous gifts to the church, brothers and sisters. And I will emphasize that. And I have been there before. I know it because the enemy works the same. He does this. He just goes in a circle. He tries to, you know, as they say, put lipstick on a different pig, but it's still a pig. And that's the truth. But I know how he does it. He gets to thinking, well, you know what? I already know this stuff. I've already heard it. I'm good with it. I know it. I've got it. You ever talk to people and you talk to them and you encourage them about the love of God and the things of God? Well, I know that. Oh, I know that. I know that. How would you like to be speaking to your lover, let's say, you know, my wife, and I say, honey, I love you. Well, I know that. You do you? Well, do you know this? No, I just do. But you'd be nuts to do that, wouldn't you? You'd be in the wrong heart, wouldn't you? I don't care if I've heard it a million times. Trillion times. Thank you for bringing me the Word of God. And it's not, oh, I know that. Oh, I'm so thankful that I know that. And I'm so grateful that you reminded me of that. And I'm so grateful I look into your eyes and your eyes too. And you know what? You know it. Now, if that doesn't send chills up and down your body, God help you. Because that's real. That's what this is. But till we all come, this is the goal, brothers and sisters. It is the unity of faith, the knowledge of Him, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And the thing is this time is about here, brothers and sisters. It is. It's upon us. This bride, this body, is transforming right now into the readied wife. She's growing up. Those last finishing touches, he assured me today, son, this isn't some strange thing. This isn't strange to our meeting, brothers and sisters. It isn't. A little different in intensity, I told him today. But it's not strange. Honey, it's coming. It's coming. Till we all come in the unity of faith. Now notice here, there's nothing that we could ever unite in except faith, isn't there? Come on, think about that. See how God's people, they try to unite in this. We're going to get together. And the thing that's hurting my heart, and I know a couple meetings, and their pastors truly love the Lord. But they're in the thought of, well, we're going to unite in multi-faiths. We're going to get together and have a multi-faith choir concert. Brothers and sisters, I don't care how good that sounds to your mind and how compromising and inviting that is to use something to fish to get people to come together. If you're not uniting in the one and only faith, you're defeated. The enemy has come in and he has duped you. You unite in one thing, and that is faith in the Son of God. And that is it. That's it. See, we think that we get so smart. This is vain in our own imaginations. We're going to go out there and use different bait. You know the thing that I've really learned about fishing is when somebody has fished this hole or this waters, one of the very first things I ask them, what bait do you use out here? The ones that really hit it? You know what? I don't go trying different things. I want meat. Brother Hill always taught me, he said, son, I'm taking you out here. You're a meat fisherman. You can take the flies and lures and you can go have all the fun fishing you want. We're here for meat today, son. We've got 2 hours and I've already started fishing. And I always remember getting out of the car. I was thinking, oh, I'm going to have so much fun. I'm going to fish with Grandpa. Ooh, when I get out, and it would be just, and here we go. I'd be putting on my boots and all this and I'd be ready. And I'd look up and he was gone. He was gone. It was meat time. If there was ever someone in a way that showed me, be ready, you be ready. Very first time I went out to breakfast with him and Chubb and my dad to get up there to go eat. I mean, to go fish. We went over there to that pancake house and it was so funny. I was just a little guy and I ordered my little egg with the pancake that looked like Mickey Mouse or whatever it was. I was so excited to get it. And I think I was so excited I had to go to the restroom. So I went to the restroom and I came back and I was just sitting down and they said, well, let's go. And that is the truth. I grabbed one pancake in my hand, I got in the car, and that's all I had. I had a great day. But I learned that when you sat down to eat, you ate. You didn't horse around. And I don't know if it was eating or breathing. It was one of the two, but you did, and it had to be gone. But be ready. See, it's all around you. It's speaking at you, even at the breakfast table. Boy, the nutritionists are going to be mad at me on that one, huh? All right. But it is such a precious time, brothers and sisters, that we know we unite in the faith of the Son of God. It's what brings us together. It supersedes everything. It's precious truth, and it's necessary for our lives. I did want to visit on something that the Lord had put, and it's burdened my heart, and truly, the distractions that are around us every day. The Word of God tells us to tend upon the things of the Lord without distraction. And I really am encouraged to encourage us in Christ to truly look to Him to rise above it. Rise above it. You know, eagle's wings. Get on that rock. Praise God. Know that you're there and it's higher than you are. And we unite in who we are in Christ. And who we are in Christ is a people of by faith. Did you know that? That's who you are in Christ. You're the people by faith. How are you going to do that? Well, by faith. How are you going to get through that? By faith. How are you going to overcome it? By faith. Amen. It's all by faith. It's never changed. But that's who we want to be. But to be the people of by faith, the Word of God tells us very clearly, you got to let go of the weights. The sin that so easily besets us is unbelief. And by the grace of God, we need to believe Him. We need to settle down of who we are in Christ. That we have been given everything. We have His very life. We are looked at by the Father as His very Son. We are favored the same. I know that's hard to comprehend. Well, you just don't even understand what I was thinking of today, brother. There's just no way He loves me like that. Yes, He does. He's God. He set it up that way. And I'll tell you what, I just want to believe Him so much I take full advantage of it. And I'm talking about the peace and the rest and the comfort and the joy and the strength and the power and all the things that come with it, brothers and sisters. But it's so wonderful that we can settle down in it. But when we don't, there are divisions that creep in. And I'm talking about divisions of spiritual wickedness in high places that don't just do it subtly anymore. It's a blunt thing. This world is asleep to the enemy. It's coming in blunt. The system is here, brothers and sisters. It's everywhere. And I'm not trying to get you all panicked up. It's just what it is. It's in our schools. It's in our government. It's in everything. Know it. Because man has become completely vain in his own imagination. Man is looking to man for the answer. It's never changed, but it's accelerating at an increasing rate. And I see Christians, so many things, but just a few I wanted just to discuss with you to make sure we understand this. And I don't want to belabor it, but they take sides. And I've seen it happen in this meeting, and God forbid it would. But we take sides in politics. We take sides in race. We take sides in education. We take sides even in environment and those types of things, brothers and sisters. I'll address those real quick and I'll ask you a quick question. I look at all of our leaders, and I'm talking about our presidents over the past 100 years. I don't know, maybe 200 years. I'm sure there were some there, but I'll go for 100 years. Name me one that truly looked to the Word of God in everything on how to guide this country. You can't. There hasn't been one. Know this. And that's why I do not put my confidence in man whose breath is in his nostrils, brothers and sisters. So quit telling me, well, brother, I'm for this one, or this one's right, or that one's right. And I mean that. What does the Word God say to us? We look to the Word of God to lead us. I may have my opinions, and you may have yours. And that's fine, as long as they don't become our calling. Of how maybe our country should be led, or who should be leading our country. Do you understand that? But you know, the thing is I know who decides it, so why does it even really matter? Do you get it? I mean, really, do we really get that? God is faithful. He is forever faithful. And that is just it. But here you go. The one thing I do know is that the evil of man is going to wax worse no matter who is in office. I know that the form of godliness is going to spread on and even at an increasing rate no matter who is in office. Amen. And then we talk about race, brothers and sisters. It hurts my heart. But just let's go to this. There is neither male nor female. Go on. Really, go on. Education, the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. Go on. The environment, beautiful place. I don't litter. Really. But you know what? He's going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. In case you haven't heard. He is. Now, that doesn't mean to go trash the place. Okay? Honor Him. And be thankful for His creation. And He's created some beautiful things. But understand, this world is still under a curse. Right? What it's going to be, praise God. Yeah, I give that to Him. And we'll finish with the fifth one, brothers and sisters. This is truly, you understand, just put your confidence in God. Believe the Word of God. When the enemy tries to just come in there, that subtle little snake or the roaring lion, don't just, it's finished. Squish. That's it. It is finished. Praise God. All right. The fifth one. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, there in the 13th verse. So see, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So, we understand that this unity here, as it's saying, is coming from two places, faith and knowledge. And it is knowledge in the Son of God. And you see that this brother Paul, which was so precious to me, you talk about an intelligent guy. You talk about an educated man. All the languages he could speak and all of the gifts that he had. But yet he came to the point and he said it so boldly. He said, you know what, I'm claiming finally to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And do you see the wisdom in that verse? Because in truly understanding that the only thing that you know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you know everything. I can call you know-it-all. Isn't that something? Because He is all in all. He's everything, brothers and sisters. That's what's so exciting about it. And this knowledge, and never forget this as well too, this is the intimate knowledge of Him. This is the intimacy that a man and a wife share, knowing each other in every way. A relationship that rests, that comes together as one, and abides as one, operates as one. And praise be to God, that man being the head, Christ Jesus, and the body that submits in love, and praise God how He loves her and gave Himself for her. But do we realize, brothers and sisters, what the Word of God is saying here? As we know Him and as we enter into this, the Word of God also reminds us that if anything we be otherwise minded, He said He'll even reveal that to us. So see, in knowing Jesus Christ and Him crucified, He's got it all under control, doesn't He? And Lord, there's something I don't know here, but You promised me that You will let me know. You're not a God of confusion. You're not the author of confusion. Oh no, You said You're the one of a sound mind and peace that passes all understanding. And it's a perfect peace. And You let me lay down and I rest my head upon Your breast, dear God. And I'm right there, Lord, in that wondrous rocking chair of Your truth, Your grace. And by God's grace, give me the faith to just rest and believe it. But brothers and sisters, we understand that it is hearing Him. As He said, it's by His Spirit. As He says, it is written. Amen? Is that how you're living your life? I pray it is. Believe the Word of God for you. It is written. He wrote that for me. Allow Him by grace to give you the faith to put your name right there in that Word of God. He wrote His Word in me. It's so wonderful. He wrote His Word in you. Believe that Word. He's given you everything. He's given you His life. That Word, He is the Word. And that's the life that you have. And it's faith in that Word is the life that you live. That's right. That's the power, praise God. Believing the effectual working power of God in us. And all the other stuff. Then, so we understand this is how we live. This is who we are. So what about that other stuff? Do you just ignore it? Do you just put it aside? I love what Brother Copley said in this one, and I have to read it to you. It's 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, casting down. Huh? That means throw it down. That means demolish it. And that doesn't mean, you know, getting physical with it out there in the world. I'm talking about in here. You cast it down. You throw it down. Imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Do you understand that? Demolish it. Get away from it. Flee the very appearance of evil. Don't play with it, brothers and sisters. See, that's not who you are. Do you see that He wants you to be a chaste virgin to Him? Do you see, as we said earlier, see, Israel was that adulterous wife with God. He wanted them. He loved them. He time and time again. But they tempted Him all the time. They weren't going to settle down. They'd go wandering off of this. They'd worship that. They'd worship a tree. They'd worship this. And all the time He just kept saying, come unto Me, come unto Me. Well, He came unto His own and His own received Him not. And then turned to the Gentile. And out of that Gentile, praise God, He said, My Father has sent a Spirit to go search for Me a bride. Isn't that awesome? Now, as tough as it is right now, brothers and sisters, I think we all can look at one another in the glory of God and say, Jesus, I am thankful that You put me here at this time. Because this is what it's all about. All that fighting, all that battle, all the heartache. It's temporal. It's a moment. And it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you. Do you know that? That's in the bank. That's in the bank. Now invest in that. You're God's inheritance. And know that for your lives. And all I can tell you is I praise Him for it. And all I can say is thank You for the wondrous faith, God, that You've given us to believe it. We are sitting on a gold mine, brothers and sisters. We are. And as we've heard many times, payday is someday. And as He continues to encourage my heart, as sometimes it breaks before Him, He said, now, son, this ain't your day. This isn't your day. Your day is My day. Look up. Praise God. Let's stand.